At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Coming at you live from the heart of Lincoln, America, on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com. Here is your host, Derek Pearson, brought to you by Canopy Street Market.
Boom. Tuesday, hour number two. 12:04 on your Lincoln clocks. The Sartor-Hammond text line. 402-464-5685. You guys have been on fire. Fire today. You've been hot. Hot. I tell you. Appreciate you hanging out with us. Include yourselves in the Sartor-Hammond text line if you will. And then follow on all the live video streams, Facebook, YouTube, X, Owl Channel 961, etc. You guys have been good. Buck, if you would please, kind sir. Who's making the good stuff happen here in hour number two?
Yeah, it's the noon hour. That means it's lunchtime, and the lunch hour at the Ticket is sponsored by our friends at Mulberry Barbecue, now with two locations, at 11th and Cornhusker and at 61st and Apples Way, right off Highway 2 by Lowe's. Both locations are open Monday through Saturday from 11 a.m. to 8 p.m. Try their burnt-in sandwich, a brisket burrito, barbecue nachos, a full slab of ribs, a half-smoked chicken, and much, much more, plus incredible sides. Get fueled for lunch today or make dinner plans at Mulberry Barbecue, located at 11th and Cornhusker and at 61st and Apples Way, just off of Highway 2 by Lowe's.
Brisket burrito. Just letting you know, brisket burrito. Gonna do that. They've got a really good, I'm told yesterday that they have a really good Cuban sandwich. And I'm a member of that club. So, Bach, you just said a thing, though. I need to ask you. So, if I took, so let's say we're at Mulberry's, and it's pulled pork, sliced turkey or brisket, you can choose, a jalapeno, sour cream, green onions, sweet barbecue sauce, with cheese. What is that called? You just called it a thing that tickled me. You described that as a nacho.
Yeah, I think that was a misspeak.
Okay. I was like, wait a minute. Nacho. I was like, wait a minute. Did we just change a thing? The Mulberry Nacho. I was like, well, maybe it's a Lincoln thing. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe the Mulberry folks have made a point that hey, we're gonna call it Nacho. I had to be sure. I wasn't sure.
It's not a bad idea. Maybe somebody could take advantage of that and make something out of it.
Well, Eric told me, he says, man, my goodness, you know, barbecue. This is what we're talking about, man. Eric. Okay. So Eric said a thing because DP's like this, that he gets behind the mic and he goes, oh, look, a squirrel. Yes. That's one-on-one. That's one-on-one. It's absolutely one-on-one that in the course of 2 hours, we will talk about Super Bowls and National College Championships, Hee-Haw, Soul Train, Ancestry, Pharaohs, and the Civil War, all in 2 hours. I try to warn you guys to buckle up because it's going to be a bumpy ride. It's a bumpy ride. It's what's the show? Is it Running Man, or is it what Arnold Schwarzenegger movie is it? And the lady says it's gonna be a bumpy ride. Yeah, that's one on one, and that's kind of on purpose because we need to rattle the middle of your day. Bach, I asked you a question in hour one. You've had time to think about it. That in the makeup and definition of a Husker fanatic, there are moments that create that fanaticism, but there are things that you identify as your favorite things about Nebraska football. the things you love the most or the things you think about the most, Husker football. And it could be a moment. It could be a player. It could be a thing that, you know, it could be, you know, the option. It could be the greatest show on turf. It could be the triplets. It could be, you know, tear away mesh jerseys. It could be the end. It could be the band. It could be the sod streak. It could be anything. Bach, I asked for five things that you love about Nebraska football. Text line, here's what we're going to do. There's a couple of home series left for the Salt Dogs. For the best text, I'm going to give you 8 vouchers that you can use for any of the remaining Salt Dogs home games. For the best text, for the 5 things that you love the most, or maybe the text line, just give me your favorite thing, the thing you love most about Nebraska football. Bach, where will you start, kind sir?
I would say I put it in the terms of it's almost a religion, at least for me growing up, right? It was so. You know, it's right there with religion.
You're in a cult, right? You know, you're in a cult.
Yeah, I'm in a cult.
You know, you're in a cult, right? But lovingly,
yeah,
and on purpose, you're a part of the cult. Like, okay, so we need to tell Ellie this immediately that we, in fact, are going to launch the Kool-Aid Brigade T-shirts from the ticket. Like, it has to, it has to happen. And I need somebody to be creative and draw like a Kool-Aid pitcher with a Husker jersey on it. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So that there's no copyright infringement. Like, I don't want to hear about that, but a Husker jersey, just, you know, first of all, it has to be red Kool-Aid, right? It has to be red Kool-Aid in the pitcher you tell me whether he's smiling or not. Crashing through a wall that says Big Ten, Big Ten championship, right? And it's crashing through the wall, and it's red Kool-Aid, but it's got a white jersey with a red number on it. And it's like, hey, Kool-Aid. And then on the back, it says Go Big Red and the ticket and all those things. But we need to do that, and we'll sell them here at the ticket. So let me know let me know if you will buy those. But Bach, in the cult that is Husker football fanaticism, what are the 5 things?
Yeah, like I said, I mean, I would start probably with the fan support, if you want to put it that way. I kind of kind of the family feel to it. But I mean, I think that's part of it. Is for the longest time, and we talked about this before, for Nebraska, it wasn't just that their football team won; it felt like you were representing the state, right? And so their identity, the Nebraska state identity, was, yes, we're going to, you know, fight up. We might not have the most talent in the world, but we're sure going to, you know, fight. And that's what Nebraska was able to do. So, you know, I guess you could kind of frame that in source of the sellout streak, but in general, fan support. And that's one thing that has stuck through the remainder of time. The other ones you mentioned too, option. The option was incredible. If you didn't, live through it, because it was unique to Nebraska football. And so they were kind of recruiting a little bit different. Now, you know, obviously before there's wishbones and different types of offenses there before too, but the option, especially in the 90s, was more unique to Nebraska football, and especially how successful they were with it. So I would put that in my list as well. The black shirt defense, a specific name, a specific thing to aim toward for the defensive side of the ball. That's rare across college football. There, you know, there's Wrecking Crew.
Is that the only defense with a name?
Well, I think like the Wrecking Crew. There's a few of them.
Who has the Wrecking Crew?
Texas A&M.
Doesn't count. Doesn't count.
But for the most part, that's the point. Is there's not a whole lot of places, especially, you know, offense gets all the love, that specifically highlights and kind of supports the defensive side of the ball. So I love that. I think the tunnel walk probably, you know, even though it's as of recent, you know, created in the 90s, has certainly become synonymous with Nebraska football. So I'd include that in there. And then, you know, I just think the success. I mean, the 5 national championships. You know, the winning part of it. Let's not act like any of this is here if the program didn't go through decades of dominance.
It just sent me immediately to Bull Durham, Nuke LaLoosh, right? The great Timothy Robbins character. He goes, I love winning. I mean, I really love winning. It's like, it's so much better than losing. That's perfect. That is perfect. Well, you said that the championships were who Nebraska was. Are the not championships also who Nebraska is? Like, do they exist in the same space?
I don't think so. And I think that's part of the frustration is I don't want to say there's a disconnected community, right? Because obviously Nebraska fans still support. Back to my point number one, the fan support and all that went there along with it. But there is a disconnect because I don't think Nebraskans feel like, I said this before, 5-7 fans. You don't want to walk around and like identify with an underachieving program. Whereas you like the idea of, oh yeah, these guys pull up their bootstraps and get more out of maybe what's given to them, you know, for all that time that Nebraska was winning. So
you say that so freely. What does that mean that Nebraska pulled it? One, they had less success. They had less talent than other people.
Well, just I think the recruiting, the state population base that you're working from. It is rare. I mean, I think that's a good argument. People can
Tommy argue. Frazier is maybe the most athletic. He, Robert Griffin III, Tim Tebow, those are the three. Vince Young are four of the most talented athletes we've ever seen.
Yeah.
Right? Turner Gill, one of the most athletic. So why does Nebraska think that it did more with less?
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Well, I mean, because you had to go and get those guys. I mean, I think it's kind of through the walk-on program, right? As people identify with the Nebraskans on the roster, especially mm-hmm. the ones that maybe were walk-ons, were underheralded and able to make something of themselves. And again, that deal is that, yes, they were able to recruit some great success, and it's because they were winning, obviously, and because they had, winning program. But when you argue the greatest coach of all time, I don't think it should be understated that Tom Osborne did this in the Midwest. There's not really a thing around Nebraska, the surrounding states. There's not a blue blood within it.
Is Nebraska attached to Oklahoma?
Not quite, but Oklahoma's close,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
Colorado, close.
Colorado's not a blue blood, but yeah, Colorado's close. They won it.
Well, but if you built your championship rivalry pedigree on beating Colorado.
I don't know if Nebraska did that. I would say, Colorado was competitive in the 90s and certainly won a national championship, but I would say they built it on the Oklahoma rivalry.
Okay, but proximity. All of it, it's interesting. First of all, Cole, that is exceptional. He got the Bach. Can you see that?
He already got it going.
The Kool-Aid Brigade.
Oh, yeah.
If we can put Big Ten on the wall that he's crashing through, and then put a ticket 93.7 the ticket logo on it, we may have a winner. That's very cool. That's very well done. So if you ask the internet, right? Which, if you ask the internet, and it's true. if you ask the internet, it gives you an answer. It's true. Like, it's absolutely legit. But if you ask it to identify what makes Nebraska football, Nebraska football, at the top of the list is renowned for a passionate fan base and deeply rooted traditions. Of those traditions, but key aspects, the Cornhuskers name, right? And they go back to, you know, Cy Sherman in 1899, replacing the nicknames like Bug Eaters, which I'd be perfectly fine with if Nebraska was still the Bug Eaters. But that's just me. The Sea of Red Memorial Stadium, its capacity transformed into a sea of red on game day. Fans dressed in the scarlet and cream colors. A tradition extends to away games with Husker fans traveling in large numbers. The Black Shirts. Nebraska defensive players known as the Black Shirts, reportedly originating from black practice jerseys worn to differentiate them from the offense. Players and fans celebrate key defensive plays by throwing the bones, crossing their forearms to form an X. Game day traditions of note, red balloon release, applauding the visiting team, the tunnel walk, Husker power chants, Hail Varsity fight song, the sellout streak, the two mascots, including one Hall of Famer in Little Red, the national championships, the five that are claimed, notable players, and its new Big Ten conference affiliation. Bach, what say you on those?
Yeah, I mean, I think, again, yes, the internet will give you some good ideas there. There's some things that, I don't know if the Big Ten affiliation necessarily is a big part of Husker history, other than that, you know, it's the current. Mm-hmm. But Nebraska football hasn't been very good in the current and in the Big Ten. So, you know, I think part of that is just kind of gathering facts and see and you know, kind of putting it in a statement as AI does. Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of that is kind of echoed what I was kind of saying. The interest from the fan base certainly being near the top, or it has to be close to the top. And you know, maybe it is. I mean, maybe there is something about the name, the Cornhuskers, and that identity through the state. Obviously, there's cornfields from just about every Nebraskan can find one within 20 minutes, right? And so, you know, maybe that name helps kind of bring, you know, that kind of familiarity back together and feel like that team's fighting for you. It's just interesting, especially in college football and for people in Nebraska that maybe, like for me, it was when I grew up, I just thought everybody cared about their football, college football team, like Nebraskans cared for their college football team. So when you travel elsewise and you see other places where the care factor isn't at that level, then you can really stand, you know, more appreciate that Nebraska as a state gets behind the Huskers. And I think that's part of it too, is, you know, it's the state identity. It's Western Nebraska traveling in for the home games and all that sort of stuff. Again, you at UCLA, you have trouble getting students to go off campus to a game. So, you know, and of course pro sports and all that factors in there as well. But Nebraska's definitely unique in that aspect, I believe.
Cigar guy says this on the Sutter Hammond text line. My kids have never known Nebraska being good at football, and that makes me sad. I've tried to get them to care about the Huskers, but they don't know why they should care about a team that has not been good their whole lives. That's really a thing, right? That's a thing that in the bridge between Husker apex, Nebraska football apex at its best. And in the next segment, I do want to ask you a question, right? That I think will stir some feelings. But it's in this lane that different Huskers have different versions and visions of Husker football. It's not the same. It's not the same. Not even from 2009 to 2016 to 2025, right? That 220, the current Husker student body has known a different kind of Nebraska football. And the connect happens in the emotional vacuum that is your adolescent years. Your love for a thing develops early, and then you connect to it in a variety of ways. It is different now. But, Bach, I'm going to ask you a question to take us into the next break, but I find it interesting, right, that Cigar Guy makes the point. Do old Husker fans care more than young Husker fans? Who is Saturday at Memorial Stadium for? Students or alumni or just Nebraska fans? Who's it for? Bob?
It's a fascinating question because, you know, I even hear like even Nick Sander will talk about it, and he's obviously one of the younger guys at the station, and one of his first memories of Nebraska football,
baby Nick,
is, well, yeah, is, but it's 2007, and I think about from 2007 on, you know, just kind of growing up in that atmosphere compared to when I grew up, when Nebraska was preseason number one, top five, you know, and that, and any loss would be a week, you know, would just ruin the week, if not the month, right? I mean, that's kind of the stakes that were on the line. So, you know, it's crazy to see that. And then, you know, so naturally you would think, how do you pass it on? And for years, like even when I started at the Ticket in 2013, there was this fear of like, hey, pretty soon these guys that are recruits aren't going to know Nebraska football for the dominant 90s. And here we are 12 years later and the recruits are you know, maybe born, you know, in like 2007. And so it's so far away now that it's gotten to that point. But I will give credit, like sometimes, you know, when I go to a game, I just love it to see. And I remember just a specific couple that was sitting in front of me, the passion from this young college student. And, you know, he's very knowledgeable and very, you know, and I don't know if he is the exception or the rule, but it made me like proud as a Husker fan. I was like, it's been passed down. This guy understands the passion of Husker football that I'm worried might not travel down to folks that like the text said, never saw it. And that's what would be difficult to me. And again, as a Nebraska basketball fan, I can kind of understand, you know, cheering for a team that doesn't never quite deliver. And so it's not completely unfamiliar to me, but you know, I mean, again, I don't like to take shots. They just made the tournament. They're doing well now. I'm just saying as a program as a whole, I'm just saying, you know, it's different than the level that Nebraska obviously was and one of the top programs in the country. And so, you know, that's almost like an alien aspect to them when they don't even say, like, Nebraska's not just struggled. They've struggled to win any big games. They struggled to win in any meaningful, you know, meaningful moments that even just for a weekend. Generally Nebraska.
Colorado was as close to imagining what it would have been back at its apex.
Right.
Like Colorado last year was the first time I felt like in the building, in the community, on social media, on television, post game, post Haymarket, post where I felt like, okay, I have some understanding now. As Ric Flair used to say, what's causing all this? That was the first time you get to do that and understand it. Now I'm gonna hit you again because it's necessary. When we talk about the best that Nebraska football has to offer, Bach, I know you're gonna get in trouble with this one. There's no chance you get it right, and absolutely you can't be wrong because it's your opinion, but there's zero chance you get this right. And I'm going to ask Bach and the text line all the same question. If you took the five national championship teams and then added the best teams in Nebraska football history, what is the best football team in Nebraska history? What is Nebraska at its apex, its best? What year? What team? Tell me. What player? What team, what year was Nebraska at its apex? We'll get the answers when we come back.
Watch live on Facebook, YouTube, or Twitch. You're listening to One-on-One with DP on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.